Good morning. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that they do know us by our love, the love we have for you, the love we have for each other, and the love we have for your word, Father God. So as always, I ask that you open our hearts and minds this morning to receive that word, to receive the Holy Spirit power that comes through that word and indwells in each and every one of us as followers of Christ. We bless this time and this sermon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Holy Spirit power, that's the name of my sermon today. Amen. And I just want to thank everyone who was here yesterday for the amazing Thanksgiving dinner. I was unable to attend, but I did get to watch most of it on the cameras. So it looked like an amazing time, and praise God for the opportunity to serve and to serve as the body of Christ, as the church. Amen. And I just wanted to thank everyone who had a hand in that. And let us continue to serve in that capacity, amen. And let us make that an annual event, as we have been, right? It's our second annual, so round of applause for everybody who helped out. And for all who prayed too, amen. Thank you. So today, we are finishing the book of Luke, amen. We've been in the book of Luke since April of 2022. So, about a year and a half, we've been in the book of Luke, and we finish it up today. Amen? Let's do this. There was once a king who offered a prize to the artist who would paint the best picture of peace. Many artists try to paint it. The king looked at all the pictures, but there were only two pictures that he really liked, and only two pictures that he was going to judge or choose between. Amen? One picture was of a calm lake. It was a calm lake. It was a perfect mirror for peaceful, towering mountains all around it. Overhead was a blue sky with fluffy white clouds. Probably looked like one of those Bob Ross paintings, right? And all who saw this picture thought that it was a perfect picture of peace. Okay, that was the first one. The other picture, it had mountains too, but they were rugged mountains, rugged and bare. And above was an angry sky, amen, an angry sky from which rain was falling and lightning was playing. And down the side of the mountain tumbled a foaming waterfall. And this one didn't look peaceful at all, did not look peaceful at all. But when the king looked closely, he saw behind the waterfall a tiny bush growing in the crack of the rock. And in the bush, a mother bird had built her nest. And there, in the midst of the rush of angry water, sat the mother bird on her nest in perfect peace. Which picture do you think won the prize? The first one, right? The king chose the second picture. You know why? I think Kim does. Because, explained the king, peace does not mean to be in a place where there's no noise. Amen? Peace does not mean to be in a place where there's no noise, trouble, or hard work. Peace means to be in the midst of all these things and still be calm in your heart. Amen? To be in the middle of the mess and still be calm in your heart. That is the real meaning of peace. And that, my friends, is the kind of peace that Jesus can bring any of us, right? Even in the midst of the chaos of the world that we live in today, right? The Lord brings us peace, even in the chaos we live in today. So last week, you know, we were talking about the road to Emmaus and how Jesus would meet these two dejected disciples, amen, on the road. And he would remind them, and probably the greatest, as I stated last week, the greatest prophetic Bible study ever, amen? that God's word had predicted everything that had happened, and God's word would continue to do so. And later that day, after breaking bread with them, he would open their eyes to see that it was in fact Jesus, right? It was Jesus that they had been talking to all along on that 7-mile journey, right? But now in today's scripture, we're still in the same evening, okay? So it's still the same evening, still Resurrection Day. And while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them. In our first verse it says, and he said, "Peace be with you." In the Hebrew it said, "Shalom." Shalom, I'm sorry, shalom. Shalom, amen? So while they were still talking about who had saw Jesus risen from the grave, he appeared among them and said, "Peace be with you." This is much more powerful of an entrance when we read John's account, amen? Because he just appeared, right? In John's account it says, "On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked," amen? "With the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" There's a little more meaning, right? The doors were locked. We can just imagine in a time before Houdini and David Copperfield, amen? just to see someone appear in thin air with every door in the room locked. I mean, they were already nervous. They're already nervous about being caught for being followers of Christ, or maybe even for stealing his body from the tomb. But at this point, none of them really knows what's going on, okay? They don't really know what's going on. And then suddenly, Jesus is standing among them saying, "Shalom." So they're freaking out. They don't really, you know, they're startled. And in verse 37 says, they were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. They thought they were looking at a ghost. You see, they thought they were seeing the spirit of Jesus, not a physical body, right? Because they only believed it to be a spirit because they saw him die, right? They just saw him, or at least some of them had just seen him die, seen him crucified, amen? And they knew he had been buried, but they were still having trouble understanding the true meaning of this resurrection, that he was standing there with them. They thought they had saw a ghost. They thought they were looking at a ghost. You see, in our mortal world, when we die, when we see someone die, they're gone, right? They're gone. If someone dies on Friday, we don't expect them to reappear on Sunday and say shalom. Amen? They're gone, right? So Jesus says, "Why are you troubled, and why did doubts rise in your minds?" Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your mind? This is what I've been telling you, he says, that was going to happen all along. He's been telling them all along, this is what's going to happen. He says, even the prophets in your holy scriptures have told you what was and what is to come. What Jesus is trying to say here is, how come you don't believe my words? Why don't you believe my words? I told you on the third day the Son of Man would rise, and they were still having trouble believing. And this is what Jesus does in each one of our lives. Amen? This is what he does in our lives. He confronts our disbelief. When we're having trouble believing in our lives, Jesus reminds us. As true believers in Christ, is it right to believe in some of God's promises and not others? It's not right, is it? But it happens. Happens all the time. Happens to all of us. We can believe in many things about the Lord, but still have some unbelief in our mind. And so Jesus confronts their unbelief. Has Jesus confronted our unbelief lately? Has he confronted you? Has he spoken to you about your unbelief? About your lack of faith? And maybe in a certain area of unbelief? Right? Maybe something going on in the world that causes us to have unbelief, like war or hunger or disease? Is the Lord calling us out about our faith today? I think he calls us all out from time to time. Amen? You see, Jesus understands our weaknesses. He knows our weaknesses. He felt our weaknesses. Amen? He knows our weaknesses and the potential to disbelieve. But he will still confront and remind us of his promises every day. Every day. We need to be reminded every day. Sometimes he will even show us the evidence that demands a verdict on our part. Amen? He'll show us the evidence. So then, what does Jesus do? He shows them the evidence. Amen? He shows them the evidence. He says, look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. Jesus was showing them the scars that a ghost could never have. Ghosts don't have scars. So he tells them, touch me. You need evidence? Feel the evidence. I'm your risen Savior. Touch me, he says. He also says the spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as I have. Did you know that right now in heaven, Jesus is in the same resurrected body that we're talking about right now? Amen? He's in that same resurrected body. The same body that he was telling the disciples to touch and see. And this is important to know because that same resurrection body is the one that we're going to have. Amen? As believers, the resurrection body we're going to have someday will be the same resurrection type body. Amen? Amen. Right now we're flesh and bones with blood running through our veins. But one day, hopefully soon, Maranatha, we're going to receive a new body, and it's going to be amazing, just like Jesus' body. Amen? And listen to this. It's going to be flesh and bone. It's going to be flesh and bone. It says in verse 40 that when he had said this, he showed him his hands and feet, the flesh and the bone and the scars to prove it. Amen? People tend to think that our resurrected bodies are going to be more like the angels, right? I think we're going to be flying around like spirits, angels, right?
Playing the harp.
Playing the harp on a cloud somewhere, right? Cody might, but the truth is we're going to have human bodies. Amen? We're going to have human bodies, and they're going to be different because they're not going to have the limitations that our human bodies have today. Amen? These new bodies will not hunger. Okay? They will not hunger, yet we will still eat for pleasure when we want to. Amen? Sorry, food eating means a lot to me, okay? So so first thing is we're still gonna eat, but we're not going to hunger. Amen? It's going to be different. We will not grow tired. That's a good one, huh? We will not grow tired. I think Donna likes that one too. Right? Oh, and the locked doors, like the ones that Jesus went through, they're not going to be a problem for us anymore either. Amen? Locked doors won't be a problem anymore. But the biggest change in our fleshly bodies is that we're never going to die. We're never going to die. Once we're resurrected, we are never going to die. And that's the biggest change. That's the best change. Amen? Our resurrected bodies will have a lot more similarities than differences to the bodies that we have right now. Remember when Mary mistake Jesus for one of the gardeners, right? So obviously we're gonna look human. We're gonna appear to be the same human body. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." Verses 51 and 52. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed forever." We shall be changed forever. These physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Not in this state. Amen? They cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But the Lord is so incredibly gracious to allow His Holy Spirit to dwell in us while we're still on this side of the curtain. Amen? He allows that Holy Spirit to indwell inside of us. But as God's Word says, these bodies will be changed. And as believers, our bodies will be made imperishable because these bodies cannot endure the presence of God. Amen? These bodies cannot endure. Remember, God had to tell Moses, right, that no one can see me and live, right? He had to tell Moses that, even Moses, right? These perishable bodies just can't take it. We will be changed. We will be changed. The day is coming when our resurrected bodies will be able to endure the presence of God forever. That's the greatest part, right? Forever. No more pain, no more sickness, no more physical limitations. Right, Cecilia?
That's right.
Think of our loved ones who have passed. Amen? Think of our loved ones who have passed, whose bodies expired. Amen? Who are in so much pain, who are no longer in pain, but will still be completely healed in the twinkling of an eye. Like the song says, amen? Amen? The only scars in heaven are Jesus' scars. Amen? We will be completely healed. Completely healed in our resurrected bodies forever. Verse 41 says, and they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement. And he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? He had some more convincing to do, I guess, huh? They just couldn't believe what they were seeing, I guess. This is how we will be when we finally see Jesus face to face. You know? They couldn't believe it. And Jesus would ask them for something to eat, and what did they give him? They gave him a rack of lamb, right? No. No. They gave him a piece of broiled fish. Anybody ever had a piece of broiled fish before? You like it? It's pretty good. And it says, he took it and ate it in their presence. I kind of hope maybe they gave him some tartar sauce and some rice on the side maybe, right? Amen?
Fish and chips.
Fish and chips. There we go. I don't think they had any French fries yet, but it does seem that fish would have been one of Jesus' favorite foods, though. Amen? Second to probably bread only, right? But then Jesus begins to eat the fish, okay? He begins to eat the fish in their presence, and this was just to give him more proof that he was real, right? That it was a human body. Ghosts don't eat fish. Ghosts don't eat food. Ghosts don't eat at all. Amen? But the most amazing part about these verses is that they speak of the character of God who cares. Amen? Jesus cares. That's why he's doing these things. He's not hungry. Jesus doesn't have to eat. I mean, he was a flesh. He was in the flesh, but you know, he wasn't doing that because he was starving. He needed something to eat. Amen? He was doing this to prove a point. He told them this is how it was going to be. He told them he was going to be raised on the third day. And like a gentle parent, he was gentle with them. He invited them, come and touch me. Come and see, right? Come and touch me. Come and see. It is I, your Savior. Touch the wounds and see. All this was to bring the peace and understanding that they desperately needed at that time in that upper room. They needed the peace. They needed the understanding. Just like Jesus does for us every day of our lives. We need that peace. We need that understanding as well. This is the character of God. And thank God that he's patient, that he's long-suffering. Because there are many times in our lives when we're struggling with belief that Jesus is living in and through us. Amen?
Amen.
A lot of times we might say to ourselves, where's Jesus at? Amen? And we start to have some unbelief maybe in our lives. But Jesus never leaves us.
Amen.
He's right here, right now, with each and every one of us. Or maybe we're struggling with something else, and we need the Lord to be patient with us. Amen? Thank God that the Lord is patient. Thank God he was patient with me. I know that. Amen. And I'm glad he's still patient with me. Amen. Just say to him, Lord, just as you showed the disciples in that upper room, I need you to show me what is real and what is true. Lord, please be patient with me and treat me with the kindness that only you can. The world's not going to treat us with that kind of kindness. Amen? The Lord will. You need only ask him. Verse 44 says, he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. He's reminding them again, right? Prophecy. Notice how Jesus is breaking up the Old Testament into three divisions, okay? He's breaking it up into the law of Moses, the first five books, right? The prophets, huge part of the Old Testament, and the Psalms. I think it's almost maybe 90 times they mention the Messiah, predictions of the Messiah in the Psalms. Amen? Jesus is telling them, these are all the things I have been talking to you about, whether in parables, truth, or text. All these truths have been at your disposal. All the things you have seen are a fulfillment of what I have been telling you in and through the Scriptures. But it's not enough just for him to talk about the Scriptures. Those disciples that evening, they needed something else. They needed something else from Jesus. And that's why Jesus would give them something else. Amen? He would. It says in verse 45 that he would open their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. He would open their minds. We're going to talk about that. Amen? This is a very important verse in this text. When we seek the Lord and ask this of him, he will open our hearts and minds to receive his word. Amen? That's why it's part of my prayer before each sermon that I ask the Lord to open our hearts and minds to receive his word. Amen? Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He may open our hearts and minds to receive his word and his power through the Scriptures. And now that he's opened their minds, he continues to say in verse 46, he says, this is what is written. Now their minds are open. Amen? He says, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. He had told them this before, right? Many times, okay? But now he had opened their minds to receive it. This would be a powerful revelation so he could continue on. And he said, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So Luke says that Jesus is the one that opened their minds to the Scriptures, right? Jesus opened their minds. But John, in John's account, he tells us how Jesus did it, okay? Luke says he opened their minds, but in John chapter 20, verse 22, he says, and with that he breathed on them. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That's how he opened their minds. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Does it sound familiar to you guys, the breathing on him? Huh? Amen? In Genesis, God breathed life into Adam's body. Amen? This is the same breath of life, okay? This is that same breath of life. Because it was lifeless before the breath of the Spirit. Amen? Lifeless before the breath of the Spirit. You see, we're all born into the flesh. But in order to receive that Holy Spirit that opens our minds today, yet brings an eternal future, we have to be born again. Amen? We have to be born again. So this is the picture of a second birth. The picture of a second birth. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. This is when the Spirit would do the extra work. Okay? The Spirit would do the extra work to open their minds so they could understand what Jesus was saying to them. So they could understand the Scriptures that they had already. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." I don't know how many times I've quoted that verse. Amen? The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Do you remember trying to read the Bible before you became a Christian? Huh? Remember that? Some of the stories probably grabbed our attention, right? Here and there. But it's only the living word when we read it in the Spirit. That's when it becomes a living word. That's when it becomes real to us. When we read it in the Spirit, that's when God's word comes to life. It's no longer foolishness. It's then that we start to get excited about God's word, right? We start getting excited about God's word. Come on, get excited, church, about God's word. Amen? We start to get excited. We start to go out and spread the gospel, right? We go out, we do things like the event last night, right? We get excited about it. You see, the more we have the Holy Spirit in us, the more we can understand God's plan for our lives, right? The more power He gives us, the more Holy Spirit power we receive. George Mueller said, "Again, we should read the Scriptures prayerfully, never supposing that we are clever enough or wise enough to understand God's Word by our own wisdom. In all our reading of the Scriptures, let us seek carefully to have the help of the Holy Spirit. Let us ask for Jesus' sake that He will enlighten us. He is willing to do it." George Mueller. Amen? Says it right there. 1 Corinthians 2:16, the ESV version says, "For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct Him? But we have the mind of Christ." We have the mind of Christ. We can understand the words of Christ because we have been given the mind of Christ. Then and only then do we truly understand. It's not by our will or by our strength. It's all by His. Amen? Once again, it's all by His strength. And verse 48 says, "You are witnesses of these things." He says, "You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." He's telling them that this promise of the Father is not going to save them, right? It's not going to save them. That promise had already been given to them. They were born again. They received the Spirit internally to be saved. They were already born again. But now He says, there's another promise to clothe you with power from on high. So stay in the city until you receive that power that the Father has promised you. And we know that they would receive that promise at Pentecost. They would receive it at Pentecost, and that would be 50 days after the Passover. Amen? 50 days later. This was the time when the disciples were in Jerusalem and the Spirit fell upon them. Right? We've seen all the pictures, right? It's a beautiful picture to see the Holy Spirit falling upon them. Jesus would refer to this as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now this baptism of the Spirit, remember, it's not for salvation, okay? This was to empower them to do the things they had to do for the church. Amen? Some people may ask, how do we know if we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? How do we know if we've been, right? A couple of scriptures from next week's text, okay? As we begin the book of Acts next week, are going to answer that question. So we get a little sneak preview here of next week, okay? Verse 5 says, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." See what Jesus said? When we're baptized, we will receive power, right? We will receive power. That's how we will know if we have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. If you are lacking power, if you're lacking the power to serve God, or if you're lacking the power, then maybe you need to ask the Lord to baptize you with His Holy Spirit. Amen? If you feel like you're lacking power in your faith walk, in your recovery, or whatever that looks like in your life, you can always ask the Holy Spirit. We can be refreshed and renewed daily through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? That Holy Spirit power is there available to us each and every day. And if someone says, but I already received the Holy Spirit and I'm saved, that's the Spirit for salvation. And thanks be to God for that. Amen? But this, my friend, I'm talking about is Holy Spirit power that we can that can renew us daily. All we got to do is ask. And here we are at the last verses of the Gospel of Luke. We started preaching on this book, like I said, in April of last year. And amen, we have learned an invaluable amount of information. Amen, about the Gospels. Praise God. And as we close this book, you know, Luke skips over a period of about 40 days. Okay? When Jesus would spend time with His disciples. And according to Paul, even appearing to over 500 witnesses at one time. Amen? Sounds like a true story to me. We're not really told what Jesus said to them during those 40 days, but I'm sure He was preparing them to receive that power, right? To receive that Holy Spirit power and to lift up the ministry of the church that would soon begin to grow at an alarming rate. Amen? The church was getting ready to blow up. Amen? And He was preparing them. He was telling them, God is going to send this Holy Spirit power. Stay in the city. It's coming. Get ready. In verse 50 it says, when He had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, He lifted up His hands and He blessed them. This is 40 days later. Amen? And He blessed them. And while He was blessing them, He left them and He was taken up into heaven. Now, how did our risen Savior leave this earth? Anybody got an answer? How He left the earth? On the clouds, right? On the clouds. Oh, there. Gave it away, huh? Everybody know how He's going to return to the earth? On the clouds, right? On the clouds, praise God. And we're going to meet Him in there. Amen? Oh, glorious day, right? Praise God. Let's thank God for that. Amen? Verse 52 says, then they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. And everybody lived happily ever after, right? Eventually.
One day.
One day. One day. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this prophetic word. We thank You for this reminder. We thank You for the Holy Spirit power that we receive every time we read Your word, Father God. When You open our hearts and our minds to receive it in a supernatural way, Lord, we thank You, Father. We thank You for empowering us to go out and serve others. To go out and to stay faithful, Lord, knowing that You have gone, that You have ascended, You have gone to prepare a place for us. Oh, glorious day. As we always say, Maranatha, Father God, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for that promise, that eternal promise that gets us through each and every day. Use us all in a mighty way, Father God, to reach others, for we want everyone to enjoy an eternal future of worshiping You. We praise You, Lord. We thank You for this day, for our little church here at Amazing Grace that does such amazing things for the body of Christ and for the church. Lord, may You continue to go before us, protect us, watch over us. I lift up all those who are struggling with sickness right now. We lift up Israel right now to You, Father God, that You may bring a healing and a peace to that land. To the Holy Land. We lift up these United States, Father God, and pray that You strengthen us in our battles, in our sorrows. Jesus' name we pray. Amen.